Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. It is a... No, turn off there. No. Yeah. No. Stupid machine. All better? Good. Okay. Yeah, there we go. It's a special Halloween edition. Nah, there's nothing special about it. It's just a... Well, I mean, it's special and everything because there aren't just a whole lot of places you could go for independent, non-commercial broadcasting that are anything even remotely like the Horn. So to that extent, yes, it's a special Halloween edition of the Horn. Blah! Okay? Yeah. Hi. It is indeed the 31st day of October, 2016. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And you can go to the virtual Halloween party over at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you'll be right there in the midst of all the merriment. Being as how it's very early in the process, there's only a few merrymakers in the room right now. More will be on their way. But when you pop in, you'll be greeted by Jug of Punch and Steve from Georgia Stan and longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who has chosen to, on this Halloween, withhold his third stage Guild Navigator powers and not fold space. I know. But that's how it is. The Horn is... a listener-supported operation, and consequently, we rely upon listener contributions to keep this little effort going. Now in its 12th year, thank you, Randy and PA. Hi, I'm Blob Kincaid. There, okay. Yes. Randy and Asa at the same time. And Asa, who are you, Mr. Radio Announcer? Expiring minds want to know. Yes. Anyway, this is a listener-supported operation. And I have happy news. The Swede is beaten. The Swede... with one broadcast day to go in the month, is beaten. Yes, and it happened over the weekend. Thank you very kindly to Horst and Kevin. And thank you very kindly to... I got to scroll down here for just a minute. Thank you to Kenda as well. Thank you very kindly, Kenda. The Swede is beaten, and so consequently, we have the opportunity to do something we've never done before. We can start on November's fundraising in October. Granted, it's October 31st, but still, that's kind of novel. So I checked in with Shirley earlier today, and I have been given approval to put Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, which happens at the first of every month, on the table tonight, now, right now. So there is a $200 matching offer on the table, which will be, which means that if we raise $200 during the program tonight, that $200 will be doubled. Okay, so that's a great way to get November started. Let's see. And as far as beating the Swede goes, January is 50, February 60, 70. April was 80, 90. June was 100, 110. July, 120, 130. Yep, 140. $140 bonus for beating the Swede in October. So, yes, that was a $140 bonus. And now, with the with Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge on the table for this Halloween, a chance to get the horn off and running towards some just wild November bill paying a day in advance. So necessarily, if you want to help out, of course, always go to headonradionetwork.com, click on contribute, and fill out the fields there. Leave the ones blank about what you do, why you do it, where you do it. And just get to the next screen. That's where you can decide whether you want to go with. That's where you can decide if you want to go with credit card or PayPal. Right. See. Yeah. And also remember, there's another offer on the table that will last for another week. Ralph's, generously. And this is really cool, generously offered to upgrade the first month of any new subscriber by $11 in celebration of the 11 years that the horn has been on the air. So if, for instance, you click that little box that says, make this a recurring monthly donation, Ralph's will add $11 to it. Every new subscriber between now and the 8th day of November, which is Election Day, merciful God, we've got 8 days left. Hang on, hang in. We can do this together. I'll be here every night. You be here every night. We'll sort of hold hands and get each other through all this. We can do this. So, that would be wonderful. And you know what? We don't have any. I mean, zero. We have zero subscribers whose subscription comes through on the 31st day of the month. So that would be great if we got a couple of new subscribers this evening, and each new subscriber gets $11 added to their subscription this month. So all told, we've got a chance to get a fighting start on the month of November. As we run downhill, my gracious sakes, 61 days and mere hours remain in 2016. And as is always the case, we find ourselves coming to the end of the year going, yeah, let's turn over a new leaf. It's time to arbitrarily pretend that this is that we've marked some new spot in space where a new year begins. Then I understand that. In the chat room, Barkway says, only 8 days, whatever will we do without 24/7 campaign coverage after November 8th? I don't know, but I'm sure willing to try. Of course, depending upon the outcome, we could be realizing that we are committed to talking about the living hell on earth of the Trump administration for the next 4 years. And God, you want to talk about Halloween terror? There it is. So Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the table a day early. We've beaten the Swede, and we are off and running. Let's see. Well, you know how I know it's Halloween? I know it's Halloween because weird stuff is happening. Strange, otherworldly things are taking place. Like this.
For him to go for the subpoena and announce it and open this thing up when he says he doesn't know if there's even anything in those emails, that's not a risk to him, too big of a risk for him. That's too big of a risk of anyone's career, and not his, hers. Let's say he actually believed that, no, I believe her intent. I believe she didn't break a law here. Let's say he believes that, but he just thinks, you know what, I should have followed procedure a little better, or I don't like getting bashed or whatever. If he actually believes that, you're not going to open an investigation and announce it without any real evidence and destroy her career. You change the course of the country. You change the course of this person's life. This is one of the most irresponsible things to ever happen if it is indeed true that he doesn't have any evidence. Can you imagine if this happened to Donald Trump? Can you imagine what would be saying? If this would have happened to any Republican, Mitt Romney, and they said, we have no evidence.
Yeah, that's who you thought it was. The Earth may have just wobbled off of its ever so fragile axis. That was the Becker head. That was Glenn Beck saying that what James Comey did to Hillary Clinton with his dumbass letter of this past Friday was dirty and unfair. Glenn Beck. That Glenn Beck. And when I find myself going, well, you know, that's a pretty rational argument Glenn Beck's making there, I'm looking around, you know, there's no Thorazine dart hole in my neck. I don't remember taking any acid. But yeah, Will in Chicago, I get that a stopped digital clock will be right at least once a day. I think stopped analog clocks are that way, too. Glenn is maybe, as Asa points out, a little late to the party. But the point remains valid. I got a note from Arnold asking, can you please explain the new email nonsense? I can try. I don't know if I can, though, because there would have to be something about this story that makes even a remote modicum of sense in order to make sense of it. So what we know is that, okay, let's take this in little tiny bites. You know, the only way you can eat you cannot eat an elephant in one bite. You have to take it a little at a time. Yeah, I know. Great minds thinking alike from both Carol Baker, Queen of the Minions, and Brother Deacon Gerald, Chair of the Building and Grounds Committee. The same comment at virtually the same time. Hell hath frozen over. It's hard to avoid that conclusion when Glenn Beck is out there defending against the ruination of the career of Hillary Clinton. Holy cow! Little bitty bites. Okay, So let's start with something we can all agree on. Anthony Weiner is a skeevy perv. Anthony Weiner is married to, but I think separated from, Huma Abedin. Huma Abedin is the nearest and dearest assistant to Hillary Clinton. That's all. I think we can get consensus on all of that. Somewhere along the way, perhaps as a function of a backup, some emails that Hillary Clinton did not send that had nothing to do with Benghazi or much of anything else, but maybe passed through her server, were backed up onto a computer that Anthony Weiner has that was seized by the FBI because they're trying to figure out just whether they know he's a skeeve and a perv. They just don't. The FBI hasn't figured out if he is feloniously so. So they got this computer and it's got these emails on it. Again, none of which were sent by Hillary Clinton. But they might be have been sent to. For all we know, there's spam. We know absolutely nothing, which is what makes what James Comey did so unutterably skeevy in its own right. He ran to the Republicans in Congress and said, oh, goodness me, mercy sakes, oh, my stars and garters, there's more emails. But he didn't even have a warrant at the time to find out what the emails were. And we do still observe those little legal niceties from time to time, being as how the warrant requirement is sort of baked into the Bill of Rights in the Fourth Amendment. No search but by warrant, and no warrant shall issue but upon a proof, a showing of probable cause, naming the thing to be searched, the place to be searched, and the things to be sought. I'm paraphrasing. Now, meanwhile, somewhere in the halls of power, namely James Comey's office, a decision was made to just, you know, let's say that there's something going on and we'll hide behind the fig leaf that I promised Congress I'd do that. And that's what prompts the Comey letter. But the Comey letter has no there behind it. But we get the Comey letter because the Republican Party has been leaning, for all that it's worth, on James Comey and the FBI to rat fuck Hillary Clinton. And the lead person doing that nasty business is, as he was, as we were reminded by Keith Olbermann, former skin cream spokesperson Jason Chaffetz of Utah, who has all the intellectual rigor and depth of I don't know, a mud puddle and a thimble. To really get a handle on how sleazy this Republican incest between Republican FBI Director James Comey and Republican Jason Chaffetz is, let's turn to one of the more upstanding members of the House of Representatives, Elijah Cummings of Maryland. This morning, he showed up on CNN's New Day and tried to help make some sense of the current bizarreness. I mean, this is bizarre. This is weird past weird. But anyway, here's Elijah Cummings on CNN's New Day.
Trump is lying about the email probe. So we are joined now by Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings. He is supporting Hillary Clinton. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning.
Congressman, were you shocked when you got this letter from Director Comey on Friday?
Yeah, I was surprised that the director, who has told our committee on several occasions that his number one concern is his reputation, that he would issue a letter that, number one, was so vague and that basically gave Donald Trump a softball to hit over the fence. And he knew, I'm sure, that this is exactly what Donald Trump would do. He would exaggerate. And again, it's vague. We don't know how many of these emails are duplicates. And we don't have very much information at all.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact still remains that, you know, it doesn't surprise me, though, in a way that he did this, because I don't think the American people have a clue as to how hard the Republicans, particularly on my committee, have been on the FBI. This is a man that is Director Comey, who they love. They said, oh, he was the greatest thing in the world at one time, very honorable. And when he came out with the decision in July not to recommend prosecution of Ms. Clinton, they suddenly turned against him.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, now what they're doing is trying to get every note, they've gotten the interviews of the FBI, they've gotten everything involved in their investigation. And now, as I told Mr. Director Comey at the time of the hearing, back in July, I said to him, sir, they are now going to investigate you and your agency. And that's exactly what they're doing. So when you asked me, was I surprised? In a way, I wasn't.
But Congressman, are you saying that you think that Director Comey acquiesced or caved to Republican pressure and that he's doing this for purely partisan reasons?
No, I can't say that. First of all, I have a lot of respect for Director Comey. But I think what has happened is that he knows that the Republicans, if he makes any the Republicans are going to be all over him, and they are going to try to get, they're going to try to bring harm to him. And he doesn't want to, I think his position is, look, they're looking at everything I do, so I want to make sure that I let them know what's going on. But I got to tell you, the thing that he did say in our hearing, and it stuck with me, is he said, I do not believe that there should be a double standard to the disadvantage of Secretary Clinton. Hmm. And that's exactly what's happening.
Senator,
and one of the things that that you all have not talked about, I want to get this in. One of the things that you all have not talked about, and I listened to the interview with Jason Miller, there has been a lot of information out there about Mr. Trump, Mr. Manafort, and the Russian government, and alleged efforts to take over our election. Members of Congress, including myself, have asked for months for the FBI to provide us with information as to whether Mr. Trump, Mr. Manafort, other associates, and the Russian government have any coordination or connection with each other.
And have they? Has the FBI given you information?
Not one syllable. So the question is do we have a double standard here? Here you have Hillary Clinton and Ms. Aberdeen, who has cooperated with the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind that when the FBI came before my committee, this is what the director said. He said, I had 20 of my all-star FBI agents, senior FBI agents, who agreed unanimously that there was no reason to bring charges in this case, and no reasonable prosecutor would do it.
And so Senator Harry...
But on the other hand, we have not gotten one shred, not one syllable, about what's going on with regard to Mr. Trump.
Senator,
give me a break.
Harry Reid, Congressman, says that Comey broke the law in doing this. Do you agree?
Let's pause there for a moment. What she's describing there is a letter written by Senator Harry Reid suggesting that that Comey may have violated the Hatch Act. Now, the Hatch Act is, and for anybody who's ever worked in or around government, you know, the Hatch Act is something that prevents electioneering on the public dime. I mean, you can't so much as wear an I'm with her pin to work if you are a federal employee. Harry Reid seems to be of the opinion that FBI Director Comey, by engaging in conduct that is almost undeniably partisan in nature, has done something far more profound and far more serious than to wear a Make America Great Again button to work every morning. I don't know, maybe he puts it on after the door is closed to his office, because it seems rather obvious that, you know, he's a Trumpansy. Sort of a fifth column Trumpansy, if you will. And as Gerald pointed out a moment ago, see, this is exactly what happens when you try to be nice and reach across the aisle and nominate those pig fuckers for cabinet positions. Ta-da! That was actually on the list of things to be addressed this evening during the filibobster. Why in God's name Barack Obama left a known right-wing partisan in the directorship of the FBI is simply beyond me. Yeah, okay, so you're going to leave the... there's a Republican who was an okay Secretary of Agriculture. Leave her there. Although my thinking on it is that there's no such thing as a benign Republican, because their goal is to destroy civil governance. They don't believe in the concept of civil society. The purpose of the modern Republican Party is to wreck the federal government wherever they can. They take their lead from that statement made years ago now by Grover Norquist when he said he wanted to make government small enough to drown in a bathtub. And we all know that phrase, but we don't think about it as much as we should. We want to make government small enough to drown it in a bathtub. In other words, we want to kill federal government. That's what drowning something in a bathtub does. It kills it. The avowed goal of someone to whom hundreds, if not thousands and tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of Republicans bow a knee is to kill the federal government. Under slightly different circumstances, that would be called treason. Okay? There were 22 million mis... no, thousand. there were 22,000 missing emails from, among other people, Count Dicula. As the reign of error wound to a close, there were findings of contempt of Congress. And what? Well, Barack Obama takes office, and we're going to look forward, not back. One of these days, we may figure out that look forward, not back bullshit. Well, what you know what happens when you don't look back? Who was it? The great sage Satchel Paige who said, "Don't look back, something may be gaining on you"? Well, sometimes it's worthwhile looking back just to see if something really is about to jump up and bite you in the ass. Because maybe you can just step to one side. But we looked forward and not back. We looked forward and not back on impeachment. We looked forward and not back on the missing emails from the Bush administration. I mean, we didn't... Where was the Democratic outrage when we had, for oh so brief a period of time, a majority in the House of Representatives? Where were the hearings? Where were the howls of outrage about emails that and you know the Bush administration? Well, you know, I don't know about these computers. I think they got lost. Yeah, I know, crickets. Yeah, Carol, you're right. The whole idea of winning elections is that the other party gets to sit in the cheap seats for 4 years. But instead, President Not Sure left James Comey in a box seat behind home plate. And now we see the natural outgrowth of it. And I know that there are some people out there who are trying to think circles within circles within circles within circles. And this is an elaborate trap being laid by James Comey. Horseshit. Nope. No. Uh-uh. This is just plain, filthy, stinking, partisan politics. And you know what? It's working. Hillary Clinton is behind in Florida. And she's hemorrhaging some points here and there in various battleground states. Hey, as a prank in Warren, Ohio, Carol pointed this out to me. For the second presidential campaign in 4 years, somebody dumped a dump truck load of manure in the front parking lot in front of the Warren, Ohio Democratic headquarters. Yeah, it's all in good fun, right? Yeah, Gerald says, well, Bob, see, there were no hearings because the Democrats have to be the adults in the government and are forced to take the high road for the good of the country. I know. Sometimes the good of the country, though, involves rolling up one's shirt sleeves and bloodying the nose of, you know, a bunch of punks and bullies, which the likes of Jason Chaffetz and, you know, James Comey are. If there was a shred of integrity in the entire body of James Comey, he would have already tendered his resignation. See, he wrote his letter, his weird little exercise in sublime vagary, against the wishes of a number of the career civil servants there in the FBI. And it's my understanding the feeling about it in the Department of Justice generally was not good. But he did it anyway because James Comey is a partisan Republican. And Republicans will always put party, the well-being of the party, the well-being of the candidate, the well-being of the nominee, ahead of the well-being of the country. Party first, baby! That's what made such an irony of the 2008 slogan of the McCain-Mussolini Caribou Barbie ticket, country first, my left hind foot. But that's where we are now. If you, I saw that, Steve from Georgia Stan telling me about what's over at 538. Apparently, according to Nate Silver, Trump's chances have ticked up to about 25% from, you know, the toilet. And so, I don't know, maybe you walk into the director's office at the FBI and there's a big old mission accomplished banner hanging. And you know, just one quick question, please. For anybody interested in the inquiry, and we're all shocked, I tell you, shocked, that the FBI could be caught up in some nasty bit of political intrigue. A question. Since when do we presume that the FBI is an honorable institution? I mean, just because J. Edgar Hoover is in his you know, moldering away in a stunning cocktail frock in a lead-lined casket somewhere in the ground in D.C. and the evil things that were done by the FBI back then are a matter of, I suppose, ancient history now. I mean, God, it's stuff that was happening within the early parts of my lifetime, but, you know, still, ancient history. The FBI is not honorable. Who in their right mind thinks it is? Their job is to, from a law enforcement standpoint, execute the will of the most powerful elements in our country. I mean, did I miss something? I mean, with some of the shock, you would have thought that James Comey was, I don't know, Gandhi, the Pope at Rome, the Dalai Lama. He's not. He's an enforcer. And, you know, meanwhile, lest we forget, while he had some fit of conscience that caused him to go running and writing this weird-ass letter about emails that he didn't even know what... I mean, you're the FBI, for Christ's sakes. You're supposed to... You've got the best fact-gathering apparatus available to law enforcement in the United States, and he writes this letter before he even knows what it is he's writing a letter about? I mean, again, there was no search warrant. Nothing about the content of the emails was known except the so-called metadata. The to line of the email and the from line of the email to Hillary Clinton. I mean, goddamn! How many emails do you suppose there are that are to Hillary Clinton from somebody trying to get her to help them secure the funds from their dead Nigerian husband's estate. How many emails are on some server somewhere to Hillary Clinton offering her a bargain on her first month's purchase of herbal erection capsules? Look at your own spam file. How many emails are in there that are addressed to you? That's metadata, sunshine. And that is the basis for James Comey to run with his hair on fire and his maiden forms in a twist to Jason Chaffetz to gossip and tattle? And now I suppose we'll have congressional hearings, and those are going to be a real lulu. And where before the Republicans were all hateful toward him because he said he didn't recommend prosecution of Hillary Clinton, well, now they're going to be his best friend. And by the way, that's what all of this is about. The outrage that was the faked up, frauded up, ginned up, dummied up, rubed up outrage that followed on the heels of his recommendation that Hillary Clinton not be prosecuted for something that wasn't a crime in the first place. And don't think for a minute that he didn't feel that pressure. This is the right wing we're talking about. These are the people with all the guns in America. These are the people who use high-powered scopes and even higher-powered rifles to blow away doctors in the vestibule of their church, of his church in Kansas. These are the people who plot to bomb buildings because they have people with the wrong skin color in them, again, in Kansas. These are people who get their talking points from Hannity and Limbaugh and O'Reilly, who have no compunction whatsoever against slyly and cutely suggesting that people be killed for who they are or how they believe. And don't you think for one minute that that wasn't in the back of James Comey's mind. Because he's an inside the Beltway DC forbidden city functionary, and that means he is at rock bottom a chicken shit. Well, see, there you go. Carol Baker. There's 650,000 emails on my laptop. What am I hiding? God only knows. But do we begin to get a picture of the way the GOP, party first, power at any cost, has manipulated this situation to try to hijack this election? And again, James Comey with his high and shining morals. Well, according to a former FBI official, James Comey is and has been of the opinion that a foreign government has been trying to meddle and monkey around in the presidential election. Now, we all know, and that foreign power will go nameless, Russia. Pooty poot. The official told CNBC, Comey believed it to be true, but was against putting it out before the election. And Comey argued, if it is said that a foreign power is trying to meddle in the election of the president, it shouldn't come from the FBI, which, as you'll recall, it did not, according to the official in a report at CNBC. So instead, the announcement came from the Department of Homeland Security and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence. They issued a joint statement. It said, quote, the U.S. intelligence community is confident that the Russian government directed the recent compromises of emails from U.S. persons and institutions, including from U.S. political organizations. Organization. Democratic Party. And, of course, it's equally frustrating that over here on our side, you've got some people going, oh, poor little Putin is just a victim in all of this. I've seen it. It's sickening. You know, every leader on Earth is a sociopath or a psychopath, and the next minute, Vladimir Putin is as pure as the driven snow. Drives me nuts. So, even though James Comey was as equally convinced as anyone else that the Russians are trying to meddle electronically in the election in order to try to leverage a Trump victory, his morals were too high, his morals were too vaunted, his morals were too pure to let it be seen as coming from him. Nah, but when it comes to trying to put the shiv in Hillary Clinton, he's right down there in the gutter with the worst of them. Scumbag. And Harry Reid says, you know, there's stuff that I can't say. But I think Director Comey is sitting on information that might tend to indicate a significant level of coordination between Trump, Trump's people, and the Russian government. I mean, some of this is res ipsa loquitur stuff. If one was simply hacking to be hacking because one believed in transparency, then one would believe in transparency for the Republican Party and the Trump campaign as well as for the Clinton campaign. Wouldn't one? Oh, but all the leaks have only been related to the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton. Hell, they didn't even really bother to hack Bernie, which is kind of interesting because in the midst of all of this, Bernie remains a voice of sanity and probity. And Bernie said, look, I imagine if somebody had hacked into our emails, they would have found some rather unflattering things said about Hillary. It's a political campaign. That's how it works. I said plenty of unflattering things about Hillary Clinton during the primary process. They were based in fact, but they were certainly unflattering. because it's in the nature of how a campaign works. But if I've learned one thing during this election process, it is that over here on the so-called progressive left, ha! What left? We have a much lower level of political sophistication than I thought we had. Jason, meanwhile, with a note, says, I think self-serving Con Comey is just shoring up his conservative street cred ahead of quitting early on a Clinton term to give lucrative rubber chicken circuit speeches and taking a cushy revolving door gig with a well-funded con think tank. Oh, God. Can you imagine? It's time now for the James Comey Show, brought to you on Premier Radio Networks. That's only marginally nauseating. Tim from L.A. with a question. What happens if the DNC is hacking the DNC to blame Putin, to blame Trump? Possible? The nature of how a campaign works? No. Because, among other things, just like the Russians, I mean, they left a trail. This stuff does leave a trail. And it also fits with, it's also part of the larger modus operandi of Big Bad Vladdy Daddy. Yeah. So, you know, happy Halloween, everybody. Yeah, I mean, come on, we knew this was not going to... What part of this campaign has gone smoothly? What part of this sideways shitstorm has resembled any political process you've ever been through, no matter how sleazy it was? And John pointing out by email, at this last minute stuff, all this last minute stuff is so enough smoke can be ginned up to save the Senate for Republicans. Maybe. But I think that's ascribing too strategic a mindset to James Comey. James Comey is just a thing, a creature who was bullied. Imagine that. We've got an FBI director who can be bullied. That's inspiring. No. No, it may work out that way, but no, as ever, the target was Hillary Clinton. The target is always Hillary Clinton. My God, I remember it. I lived through it. I used to spend a lot of time driving, and the only thing on, because after a while, you know, old DJs, you can name that tune on the classic rock station two or three notes in, and it just isn't fun anymore. So I'd switch over, and yeah, there's Flush. And a few others along the way, too. And they have had this sick, I mean, you know, weird, you know, fava beans and Chianti obsession with Hillary Clinton for 25 years without let up. And see, their nightmare is about to come true. They've been living in terror of the day of the communist revolution when that communist Hillary Clinton would become president and the America that we know and love and hold dear will disappear forever in the strains of the international. And so as the day draws nearer, they become more desperate. I mean, it ain't over, babies. This can still get weirder. As of midnight, there's 7 days. And every one of those days will get weirder than the one before. Carol Baker noting, can this country take a collective bleach shower next week? Well, a bleach shower is a start. I don't know. And, you know, maybe... there may be enema nozzles involved, too. I mean, it's fitting that the final day before, with 1 week to go in this election, is Halloween. When the dead are said to rise and ghouls are said to stride the earth. Because in this James Comey thing, you have the risen ghouls of every nasty campaign, nasty, dirty trick ever run by the Nixon administration. Every sleazy bit of political skullduggery. It's all here. And we got a week of it left to live through. Oh my God. And I guess all we can do is hope to get through it together. All we got in common is our misery, Joe Keenihan used to say. The least we can do is share it.
It's beautiful.
Now it's official. I have something I want to tell you.
Yes, Michael.
I'm not like other guys.
Of course not. That's why I love you.
No, I mean I'm different.
What are you talking about?
Get away! passion. Girl, but all the while, you're a creature creeping up behind. You got out of time. They're out to get you. There's demons closer in on every side. They will possess you unless you change that number.
Search of blood to terrorize your neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. From every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver. For no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
Okay, so the rest of it's pretty much the dancing, and the dancing is pretty much visual. But, yeah, you get the idea. I mean, it's Halloween. You got to do something like that, right? All right. Let's see. A couple of quick notes on fundraising for the evening. Remember, Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is on the table a day early. And thanks to Ralphs, and thanks very kindly to Jill, we have only $75 to go to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge this evening, and that'll get us off and running one day ahead on the month of November. So thank you. Thank you, Jill, and thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very kindly indeed for getting us out to that big jump. $75 to go fundraising for the remainder of the evening. And now let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Steve from Georgia Stan. Hey, Steve.
Hey, Bob, how's it going?
Happy Halloween, boo, and all that.
Boo, back at you.
Blah!
Can you hear me? Vlad, sound like Vlad. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, you're fine.
All right, that's cool. I'm not going to be on here long. It's just something's been rolling around in my head, and I wanted to discuss it with you briefly. You know Showtime is owned by CBS. You know that, correct?
Right.
And you know, a couple of weeks ago, they come out with this huge documentary called Wiener.
I didn't know that.
Well, they did. And I'm wondering if there may be a connection, because you know who? Agent Orange has a lot of influence on the media. So I just find the timing suspect. Now, do you think my tinfoil hat is just a bit too tight?
I wouldn't listen too carefully to the radio transmissions you receive through your dental work, Steve.
I understand.
I don't know. For me, that's a little too tenuous.
Because they probably would plan this program months and months in advance, probably years.
Well, I mean right? Because you know, Boo, a Madea Halloween wasn't shot last week, man. They were shooting that a year ago. You know, for a Halloween release, and now it's number one at the theaters. And But
yeah, I just found it suspect, and I just wondered. I wanted to get your opinion if you thought there may be.
Look, I'm one of those. The simplest sleaze is likely the true sleaze, and this is a function of the level of pressure that was brought to bear by the Republicans, and they got James Comey to. They got him to collaborate with them. They, to use the language of the spooks, they turned him.
And you don't think that there's any chance at all that Comey's just laying a trap for Trump?
No.
No. Because that's being floated by other people out there.
I think that's wishful thinking.
Yeah.
That's too movie scripty for my. And this isn't a movie script. This is a goddamn Three Stooges script. Okay.
If it was, he would need to come out and come clean within the next 3 or 4 days. And I don't think we're going to hear Jack Squat until after the election. That's just my.
No, he's hunkered down and bunkered up. Yep. And he is a man without honor. So thus, he's not going to resign. And Jason Chaffetz is operating on his own marching orders.
And you know, Keith
Olbermann did a brilliant piece earlier today, where he talked about, where he brought up the fact that Jason Chaffetz was so shocked, so disgusted by Trump's remarks on the Access Hollywood tape, and then boom, a week later, wow, I'm still voting for him because Hillary's a threat to America, a threat to freedom. Boy, them Mormon values, huh?
Well, there you go. But you got a lot of people on the right even coming out. On Fox News, that Jeanine's her name. I can't think of her last name.
Jeanine Pirro, yeah.
Yes, who is a Hillary hater.
Oh, no. I mean, the Glenn Beck thing just absolutely. I mean, that's why I led with it. I mean,
they're on kind of the same level, though. Maybe not the same level, but pretty damn close, you know, because she is a Hillary hater, and she came out and said, you know, What Comey did was just wrong, just flat out wrong.
Well, the one thing that is born is that, and Olbermann pointed this out, is that for once Donald Trump is right, the game is rigged. We just found out, and it's rigged in his favor.
And what scares me, Bob, is the trend. Look at the trend. Look at Nate Silver. The way this thing is trending, it's not comforting. It's not comforting.
Well, no, but again, we live in a capitalist wonderland. So, you know, cui bono and cherchez l'argent and all that. This is going to put a whole lot more eyeballs on a whole lot more screens between now and, you know, because now you want a conspiracy theory? Here's one for you. Early voting has started and the numbers are trending hard toward Clinton. So that means there's a whole lot of people who have early voted, they've gone home, and they're just done with this filthy process.
I don't know if you've heard.
And so they're not going to watch anymore, Steve. Their eyes aren't going to be glued to the screen. They're not going to be checking the tip sheets on the horse race anymore. Ha, so look, ooh, here, we've got this.
Trump was encouraging people in Colorado to go try and change their vote. You can't do that. I don't know if you heard that or not, but he really said that. I mean, you can Google it. It's out there.
Yeah, if you've already early voted, go and write.
Yeah. I mean, that's just nuts. And they did find some voter fraud, but it wasn't on the Clinton side.
I saw that. But the fact of the matter is the Comey thing is a problem all by itself. But there's a subset, Steve, a subset problem, or perhaps a parallel problem of shit the for-profit media have done that is equally reprehensible.
Do you think it's because they want a horse race, and the tighter this is, the more people are going to tune in?
Because capitalism.
Yes.
Because money. I mean, Les Moonves. Trump may not be good for America, but he's great for CBS.
And doesn't he have a criminal case coming down the pike in 3 weeks? Nobody's even talking about that.
The kiddie rape case has been refiled in federal court in New York.
There's no equivalency at all within the media. That should be being blasted just as much.
Oh, that would be unfair. That would be unfair. These are unfounded allegations. That would be unfair. Meanwhile, you know, Anthony Weiner has a laptop that has emails that were sent to Hillary Clinton on them. And Zomg, the best one-liner, and I would love to give credit for it because it's freaking brilliant. The best one-liner I've heard about all of this is that Anthony Weiner is living, all caps, living proof that the Clintons don't kill people.
Well, Bob, thanks for keeping me grounded. I'm going to get out of here so you can take other calls. And I appreciate you, my friend.
All right, thanks, Steve. You have a good night. My best to Miss Karen and Cletus. She's a good puppy, Cletus is.
Take care, Bob.
See you,
we'll
Steve.
Talk soon.
Bye now. All right, bye now. Steve from Georgia, Stan. No, I mean the for-profit media will act in the best interests of the for-profit media, and the rest of us can go chini ourselves. Quick note coming in from Ron. In the soon-to-be frozen north, we hope, you know, because climate change. Checking in late, still working long hours to satisfy the client. I would note, however, that I left this continent, and he did. He went to the sandbox for a few days. With politics already in a shitstorm, and return a week later only to find that it's gotten even worse. If we're being monitored by an alien species for any sign of intelligent life, we're fucked. So much for the promise of eternal life, free clean energy, and the cure for the heartbreak of psoriasis. I guess we can write off the Frisbees and wheat checks, too. No, dear God, I had no idea. Carol pointing out there are 8 states where you can change your early vote. Oh, well, that's just going to make... Hey... It's just a little more feces thrown into the fan blade. Carol pointed out, she said, I don't mind reinstating the Hitler pool next week, but can we make a pact never to mention Trump's name again? You know, like how the Tundra Twunt was forever banned? Absolutely. All we have to do is have him not get elected president. And I don't think I'm going to be using his name if he is. I mean, at that point in time, no. The Mar-a-Lago Mussolini, Benito Cheeto, and whatever clever stuff we can come up with. But yeah, but that's the other side of it, of course. He's not going to go away. And here's the problem. We might ignore him. But he's still going to be great for CBS. He's still going to be great for Joe and Mika. He's still going to be great for George Snuffleupagus and Joke Toad. He's going to be great for eyeballs on screens. And he's still going to be seen as... By a significant plurality, maybe not a majority, but a plurality of this nation, he's going to be seen as the hope we let pass us by. And I know particularly that will obtain here in West Virginia and Appalachia generally, and probably throughout the Confederacy. We had a chance to be great, but instead we got the devil. I'm not kidding. Oh, hey, a quick technical note before I run over to the Skype line. Quick technical note. Over the weekend, and I have Agnes and I have tested this and retested this. Over the weekend, we replaced the Stressline phone so that now, theoretically, there should, you know, unless you're on a speakerphone, and if you're calling a radio program and trying to use a speakerphone, that's a problem to begin with. But Barring that, you should have no problem calling the stress line, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN. And that line is open if anybody wants to jump in line. But for the moment now, with only $75 to go in fundraising to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge on a day early on this 31st day of October, 2016, let's run over to the Skype line and check in with Scott and Punky in San Diego. Hey, guys.
Well, hello. Hello, Bob. How are you?
I'm here. I'm well.
Well, that is a good thing. That is a very good thing. I did not get the name of the person who brought up the topic of alien beings.
That was Ron in the far frozen north.
Okay, searching for intelligent life here amidst this electoral nonsense, this nut bucketry, ass hattery, and bullshittery that we call an election process, of which there mercifully is yet but only 1 week left to go through this phase of it. Jesus. but I had a thought a couple of about a week or two ago. I am predicting that when Trump has his orange ass handed to him on November 8th, that once the dust has settled, possibly on a moonless night, the mothership will come to this planet and will beam him aboard and take him back to his home planet. He has been their test probe, if you will, in our collective anus to see if there is, in fact, intelligent life on this, the third planet from the sun. And I think that they will be able to conclude, these alien beings from a faraway place with a strange-sounding name, will be able to conclude once and for all, beyond question, that intelligent life is an endangered species on this planet. So that's where I am on that. Now, as for this Comey thing and this email thing, that is almost as endless as the election process. And I you know, pardon the repetition, you didn't share it, but so I'll do it quickly now, something I sent you earlier. For nearly a quarter century, the vast right-wing conspiracy folks have made numerous attempts to catch Hillary Rodham Clinton at some nefarious deed or other. Not once, mind you, have they been able to find success in the legal process of arresting, indicting, trying, and convicting her on even so much as a parking violation. So let's consider why this is so. Perhaps the investigators have all been completely inept, or maybe she's just so crafty and quick that she's impossible to catch. Trump will tell you it's because the system is rigged. Here's what I think. They hate her and will say or do anything to prevent her from succeeding politically. One must admire or at least recognize her tenacity. So that's my little thing today.
Well, absolutely. I mean, she's driven. She has more ambition than any other human being, I think, who has ever engaged in politics, especially in the run for the presidency. But, you know, what Comey said that he put, you know, when he did the review initially that got him in such that occasioned such screeching and shrill howling from the Republican Party. Yeah. Lock her up! Yeah. Idiots running around in Hillary for prison t-shirts screaming USA at the press pen at Trump rallies. He said that the review was performed by a team of FBI all-stars. Now, at least under part of your rubric there, those all-stars are all Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah, apparently. If that. They could be Barney Fife. you know, with a bullet in their shirt pocket in case he actually needs it, but the gun being otherwise empty. And this thing, you bring up an interesting thing about the Jew-SA, the Trump supporter at the rally chanting Jew-SA. When I heard that over the weekend, my thoughts went back to November of 1969 in Des Moines, Iowa, when one Spiro Ted Agnew gave a speech about the small, concentrated, unelected, unresponsible group of people, brackets, Jews, close brackets, in an eastern city, New York, controlling what we see and hear on the nightly newscasts each evening. And for anyone who thought that that mindset went away when Ted Agnew pleaded nolo contendere in October of, 73, and was shuffled out of the vice presidency, that mindset of a Jewish cabal, you know, an elite group, has not gone away. And if anything, this whole business of a Trump campaign has reminded us of the insidious nature of that way of thinking. I will be glad when it's over, and I still insist that he will go down in flames, and we won't hear the last of him. That won't be the end of it. God knows.
Well, you're much more sanguine about things than I am. I don't believe in counting votes until the election is over.
Well, and I get that. And there are only two ways to run, scared or unopposed. Okay, I get that. But what I also get is, it should be obvious to anyone who wishes to consider it without blinders or prejudice that the Republican Party has nothing of authentic value to offer anyone. And Exhibit A, as evidence of that fact, is the fact that Donald J. Trump is their nominee for President of the United States this time around. He is Exhibit A in the trial, because if they did have anything to offer us of value and worth and usefulness, they would have nominated someone, I won't even give a name, but someone who was not Trump. So by his very presence on ballots all over the country, I can only conclude that that party has proven to anyone who's willing to look honestly that they have nothing of value.
But they also had no one else. I mean, it's not like there was a sane Republican out there running, Scott. I mean, John Kasich was the closest they had, and he's one Buckeye shy of being as weird as Mike Pence.
Well, yeah, I mean, the fact that Kasich is possibly the least crazy of the bunch, but as you say, that's not saying much.
You know, remember Jebbia muscled in and meddled around in the personal life of Terry Schiavo and her family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're all a skeevy bunch of dead enders. And you know, last night I had the privilege, and I know you were listening, of chatting a little bit with Thomas and the gang over at FYI Nation when Thomas did the marathon broadcast all day yesterday. Yeah. And along the way, I got to have a little bit of conversation with the one and only Tara Devlin, a dear friend partner in many D.C. adventures and a couple of New York ones. And, you know, she brought up something that I think could be the source of an entire serial. The Republicans profess to love America, but what do they love about it? They don't love the mountains. They love to see the mountains blown up. They don't love the plains because they want to drop toxic pipelines in them. They don't love the air because they don't like to have clean air. They don't love the water because, you know, they hate the EPA and despise the Clean Water Act. They damn sure don't love a whole bunch of the people who are Americans, or else you don't wind up with Flint. You know, I don't think, in many ways, Scott, I don't think that we've actually had our full reckoning, or at least a significant portion of this country has had a complete reckoning of just how anti-American the right wing in this country is. They do not love America as it exists. They love a vision of a fascist, goose-stepping, militarized, vicious, bloodthirsty America.
In a very real way, Bob, the Republican Party is as dangerous to this country as our worst possible enemy. And I say that without hesitation. And to use my analogy of exhibits in a trial, exhibit A is the fact that Trump is the nominee to show that they have nothing to offer us. Exhibit B would be in the wake of the 2012 election, when they did the so-called autopsy to find out what went wrong and how they can keep it from happening again. They have known for 4 years what they will have to do as responsible human beings, if any, to be a bona fide, worthwhile entity in our political process, and they willingly chose not to do any of those things. You know, the case does not look good for them. They will be shaving their leg and a spot on the top of their head during the appeals process, if I don't miss my guess here on how successful they'll be in the court of public opinion.
Well, as badly as I want him to go away if he loses after November the 8th, he's not going to. I mean,
no.
He'll probably be trying to throw eggs at her on Inauguration Day. or else he'll be, you know, sitting up in his really tacky penthouse. You know why he tweets so much? You know, when I try to type on the keyboard, and you know, I use a phablet. I've got a plus phone, just to give me a little bit of extra space. I type all kinds of bizarre shit just because my thumbs are so fucking big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I figured that man tweets so much because he's got such tiny little fingers. It's not a problem for him on the little virtual keyboard.
Well, and the
but he'll, and that, no, on the day of the inauguration, he'll be sitting up in his tacky little penthouse just tweeting for all he's worth. Because one of the things that comes through, I saw some stories about some interviews that were done in regard to his bio. The man is terrified of not being the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only thing that matters to him, being noticed, and he talks about the first time he was ever in the newspaper and the first time he was ever on TV, and it changed him forever. And he realized he had a purpose in life. I mean, look, there's lots of people out there who build some really fabulous, big-ass, beautiful buildings. They don't try to get a reality TV show about them. And that's the other thing. I think he's about halfway to being broke-ass. Why would he work for $50,000 to $100,000 an episode on The Apprentice if he's as rich as he says he is?
Well, I don't know. To address that, I don't know if you saw the story several months ago. A couple of years ago, there was a Comedy Central roast of Donald Trump. And if you've seen those roasts, you know they can get pretty brutal. And it's like no holds barred in terms of insults. But apparently it was made abundantly clear to the roasters that there was one specific area, at least one area, that they were not allowed to touch in their remarks. And that was that he's not really worth all the billions that he claims to be. Do you recall that story?
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, and he's just, it's like it's like the axis of the universe, to his mind, passes directly through him. Okay? Which is somebody you definitely don't want to have in charge.
Well, I mean, it's the living, breathing definition of terminal narcissism, is it not?
Oh, yeah. And to get back to his tweeting, incessant tweeting, the reason he does it so much has to do, like you say, with the tiny fingers on his tiny hands. It facilitates the tweeting, you know, the act of tweeting. But also, he doesn't sleep. I forget what prompted it, but he went tweeting fast and furious in the dead of night a couple of months ago over whatever his latest.
That was the watch the sex Miss Universe sex tape tweet.
Oh yeah, okay. But the thing about it is, he has exhibited things, attributes of sleep deprived patients, low these many months. It's classic. I'm not a doctor. But if you know even a little bit about what happens when you are chronically sleep deprived, there are classic symptoms in terms of one's behavior that are readily apparent to anybody willing to look.
And I agree.
So, but anyway, that's my little political two cents. I do have one quick PS to bring you up to date, and it's actually very, very good news.
Yes.
Back in the late spring, seemingly out of nowhere, I got a notice from Social Security saying that the state of California was no longer taking care of my Medicare Part B premium, and that beginning henceforth and evermore, I would need to do it. Nothing had changed in my income or my disability or the fact that Social Security each month is my sole income. And I went round and round trying to figure it out, and I researched it, and I talked to some people, and never got a straight answer, and even contacted Social Security again last week. And again, they kept sending me back to the state. So long story short, I contacted one of our county supervisors because the Medi-Cal program, while it is a state program, locally it's administered by each individual county. And the guy I talked to was able to get it straightened out. Not only will they take care of my Part B benefit, but they said they'll be sending me a lump sum adjustment for all these months since April that I've had to pay it myself. So that was a huge blessing. And once they get that straightened out and the cash is in my hot little hands, I will be able to help you out with the fundraising, because you sound so much better today, having beaten the Swede with a day left on the last day of October.
Yeah, I don't remember being able to do Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge a day early ever.
Yeah, so let's make this a tradition. Let's give Bob a bigger comfort zone in terms of fundraising. And, you know, once I get my little lump sum, I'll cut off a lump for you just to, you know.
No, that's mighty kind, Scott. I appreciate it. Really, I do.
Yeah. I want to be a possibility for a cushion for you, because you sound so much better, and I'm sure you'd feel better being somewhat more relaxed.
Oh, it does. I'd be lying if I said that it doesn't contribute to that. I mean, stress sucks.
Oh, I know.
That sounded like an amen coming from Punky, too. So.
Yeah, Punky is, well, I haven't told him yet, because he's going to want me to buy bells and mirrors and bird toys and high-quality bird food, and you could go broke doing that. I'll treat him.
Yeah, draw the line at bird hookers, though, okay, will you?
I'll treat him, but I'm not going to spoil him.
All right. Hey, Scott, you have yourself a good evening.
Okay, Bob, take care.
Good night, Punky.
Bye, Punky. Bye, Bob.
See ya. Scott and Punky in San Diego. Note coming from Brother Deacon Asa. Do you ever sit there staring blankly into space, sighing deeply, looking back to the good old days of 2012 and thinking what a decent man Bishop Willard Romney was, at least in comparison to this walking pile of camel dung? Sure. Why not? And while we're at it, let's have another deep sigh to remember what a fundamentally more decent human being Pappy Bush was than his little juvenile delinquent son. But you're going to be hard-pressed to get me to draw any deep sighs for, you know, Bomber John McCain. Sorry, I mean, I got a little integrity left. Let's see. Heading over to the stress line to test it out here in a moment. Carol noting, come back, J. Edgar Hoover. All is forgiven. You never threw an election, and you sure knew how to accessorize. Besides, I heard he was a good dancer. Hey, you don't get buried in a lead-lined coffin for nothing, Carol. All right, let's go over and check the stress line and see how things are going with, I presume, Todd. Hey, Todd. Todd. Really?
Hello?
There you are.
Hey. Only thing is that the monitoring function wasn't working. You know how if you can put mute on your phone and hear the show through the phone while you're waiting?
Yeah.
Okay, so I was just letting you give me a heads up on that. But yeah, so that's good.
So you weren't getting the program audio?
No, that's why I had to stay near the equipment to hit mute, so it wouldn't get any feedback.
Right? Okay, that's bizarre.
Just a heads up, but the connection is much better than usually. You know, I'm going to try to be quick because I know people. There's so much going on.
All the time you want. Do not hurry. Hurry on somebody else's program. Don't hurry here, Todd.
Well, look. The FBI has always been crooked. Really, think about it. Ever since they started, they have been right wing and on the crooked side. You know, COINTELPRO. You know, if everybody remembers that. And that really never ended, actually. So they just renamed it. You touched on exactly what I really wanted to talk about in a second. But now, in terms of how depraved the right wing is right now and why they are that way. But Comey, okay, if we make some assumptions, let's assume, we don't know this, but let's assume that the Russians are behind this hacking in cahoots with Assange, who is definitely, he's bad news. He's not a good person. Okay, let's assume that. If we make that assumption, we can create a data point and connect the dot, right? So at the same time that they are getting Hillary's emails, what if they have dirt on him? And this is a blackmail type of thing.
Well, wait, the Russians have dirt on him?
Well, yeah. Obviously they.
Oh, I think that, Todd. I think that goes without saying. I think they've
right.
got, I think, but I, you know, I don't think it's in the form of emails. I think he's leveraged to the hilt with the Russian oligarchs because no other banks will do business with him now.
Oh, I'm talking about Comey, not Trump, but Comey.
Wait, the Russians have dirt on Comey?
Right. Why do you think he made such an abrupt announcement at this time? So, in other words, we're assuming that, you know, Trump has been making visits to Putin, and he's chummy with the Russian government. We see that. So we make another assumption. This is what the government is telling us, that they are tampering with our process with these emails with Assange and this and that, which we're probably doing also. That's just cyber. It's cyber spying and cyber terrorism. I mean, probably everybody's doing it. But so then they find dirt on Comey in his emails. We don't know what he's doing. People do things after they get off work. Everybody's human, right? Because why would he make, at the timing is off. And everyone knows that you are not supposed to talk about an investigation while it's ongoing. Everyone knows that.
Everyone except, like, you know, Comey, I guess. But no, I mean, again, I go back to what I said earlier. I go for relatively simple answers in cases like these, Todd. I think the ball twisting is coming from the GOP. He's a Republican. They're Republicans. There are natural affinities, and he's scared to death of them. With good reason. Mm-hmm. You know, no, they're not gonna prick him with a little polonium pellet in the end of an umbrella or anything, and have him waste away of radiation sickness. No, some member of the collective Kleti will just, you know, take him out someday, some morning.
Right.
And he knows they're capable of it because he's part of the FBI, and he knows, James Comey knows, Todd. Let's not discount who, you know, what agency he's with. He knows that the greatest threat to anything, anyone in the United States is right-wing domestic terrorism.
Right. Right.
And those sons of bitches have a list. And as of his testimony to the Congress saying that Hillary Clinton should not be prosecuted, he went on it.
Yeah, I didn't think about that side, but yes, you're right. But that dovetails into what I was thinking about. I heard you Friday, and I'm glad you made those connections. You know, this is a sad week. This past 7 days, I don't mean like week, official week, but the past 7 days, I'm questioning the judicial system. You know, how we're treating indigenous people, how we treat others, period. And I started thinking about Manifest Destiny. And, you know, it never really went away. And it seems like the white males with authoritarian power, which I guess is a myth, you know, that's the same thing. But what I'm saying is that Trump is like the great white gas last hope for these folks, okay? Manifest Destiny never went away. It was just quelled for a while. Because look at these people in Oregon. They're feckless. You know, they love to bandy about the F word. They're the ones who are feckless. I mean, damn, man. Drop fresh water? Come on. We have to protect. If we don't protect fresh water, we're done. We are done. And that's not much to ask.
Yeah, and we're talking about all this And you know, just by the way, just as we're talking, can we at least take a moment to note that the thugs on the High Plains put Dakota Access Pipeline water protectors in dog cages? Can we just take a moment for that, Todd?
I had no idea. I know nothing of that. See, that's what I'm fucking talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
They shot a kid with their non-lethal rounds. I saw a photograph of a woman who had been struck twice, once in the neck and once in the jaw, with rubber bullets. If that rubber bullet had been, a centimeter more on target, I guess, it could easily have ruptured her jugular vein.
That's terrible. This is. I'm not trying to inflame anyone, but I have to call it the way. This is my observation. All right, that is the epitome of white entitlement. You know, they want free shit. They figure they're entitled to that land because their ancestors got free shit. You know, stake your claim. All you have to do is head west. You put up some posts. Start building a fence. You know, fuck the Indians because the government was trying to kill them too, right? But this goes, you know, and this goes back to all the way our judicial system is working. You know, you were talking about the jury nullification. See, but that's a terrible precedent. Now, what happens if somebody who looks like me goes, you know, I'm out traveling, whatever, and you know, something, some kind of altercation or whatever, I might not get a fair trial. Right? You know, we're in dangerous waters now. You know, this is another fissure, fissure, a crack in what could become the regionalization of this country if we're not careful. This is not good. They're viewing the Native Americans like they are less than human.
And please, I mean, let's add a couple of things in here. The lands that they are protesting over and trying to protect are lands that were unceded, C-E-D-E-D, unceded to the government under the Treaty of Fort Laramie. The Treaty of Fort Laramie is binding treaty law, and treaty law has the effect of constitutional law within our jurisprudence.
Well, who issued the permit? See, I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, okay, so there's no permit from the Army Corps of Engineers, so there's no permit necessary. What they're working on now is land that they have taken by eminent domain that they had no right to take because of the treaty.
But it goes back to the judge. Somebody had to rule, just like remember in Nebraska when they
No, the ruling was done by virtue of an eminent domain proceeding.
Well, that's unconstitutional.
No, it's not.
I mean, if you're saying that in favor of the oil company, it's unconstitutional. If they're holding up the treaty, that's the way it's supposed to be.
But see, we have this trend over the last 20 or 30 years. Eminent domain is an area of the law in which, you know, there's this, and I'm sure you already know, but in case people don't, eminent domain operates for the alleged public good. You know, let's say you're building an interstate highway system.
Right.
Well, you're going to lay out the route of the highway. And you're going to go and you're going to use eminent domain to take the land and then fairly and justly compensate the owners of the land according to fair market value for the land that you have taken. But it's supposed to be for the public good. It is not supposed to be for private enterprise. But in the last 30 years or so, a trend has developed whereby eminent domain is used by private entities for profit-based purposes. You know, there's no public good served by having an entire aquifer poisoned, or by having a pipeline rupture under the Missouri River.
The court is saying that they're making that ruling. If it's what you're saying, they're saying that the public good is that America needs that oil more than those people need their land, and they need clean water. That's what.
Well, theoretically, but the other part of it is the land that was taken by eminent domain had people holding title in fee simple to it, who may not have had good title to it by virtue of the fact that it is unceded land within the meaning of the treaty.
All right, this is appearing circular now.
No, it's not. It's not circular. It's just dirty business. You know, somebody squats on 500 acres of unceded land, and it's not like the Standing Rock people can go and burn them out or shoot them down. Because you got your fucking cattle grazing on it, or I don't know, maybe you're raising wheat or whatever.
Right. Okay.
And so
okay.
Then you say, wow, you know, they lost that because of adverse possession. Now, I'm hypothesizing here,
right?
But I mean, that's how that can happen. And you know, what does a wheat farmer care if there's an oil pipeline 6 feet under his ground? He's not plowing 6 feet deep.
Well, people have different values. You know, I value fresh drinking water. I don't like paying $1 to $2 a gallon for potable water when we used to be able to just go to the spring and get it. I mean, not long ago. See, this, something's gone awry. Just like with this fracking bullshit. You know, why would you think it's okay to put toxic chemicals in the ground where you drink the water from, where you're watering your crops? See, somehow we've had erosion of common sense when it comes to the basics of what it takes to live, clean air and clean water. You know, fuck all this other esoteric bullshit. If you don't have clean land and clean water, you do not live as a human being.
Now, and interesting, you would bring up clean water. The trial, the class action trial, and it'll be, what, 2 years in January since the Freedom disaster, when more than 10,000 gallons of toxic Freedom got dumped in the Elk River here in West Virginia. That class action was due to go to trial on October 25th in Charleston, and they're trying to hammer out a settlement. Eastman Chemical has been willing to settle, and West Virginia American Water has been sort of dragged kicking and screaming to the settlement. But and this is the fun part. They presented settlement terms to the federal judge trying the case, Todd. And the federal judge threw it back in their faces and said, No, and I love this. I was so proud when I read this. He said, I want clear language in this that says that West Virginia American Water promises it will not try to go to the Public Service Commission and stick the ratepayers for the money they're paying on this settlement. That was kind of shocking.
Well, that sounds great. That's wonderful.
But yeah. but even so, you've still got about 300,000 people who to one degree or another are for the next 18 years or so participating in an involuntary human study on the effects of methylcyclone hexane methanol on human body systems.
What they were using for the nonstick pans?
No. This is the stuff they were using to clean coal. It's a flocculant.
Oh, okay.
Just like the people in Flint, the children in Flint are participating in a multi-generational study, unwittingly and unwillingly, to determine how much lead is necessary to destroy the intellectual capacity of every person of color in Flint. I mean, Jesus Christ, we hanged people after World War II for doing that kind of evil shit. Human experimentation.
Well, it's nothing new. And as a matter of fact, there was a large expose in the Philadelphia Inquirer about the housing stock in Philadelphia and the lead paint that people are still enduring in
Philly and lead, absolutely. Flat. Baltimore and lead. Slumlords and lead. Lead
right.
paint.
And sometimes people wonder, well, why do those kids have such aberrant behavior? Why are they angry all the time? How come they don't learn? Well, maybe they live in dilapidated housing, because the blacks are always usually moving in after the Jews, and the Jews leave usually the blacks move in the city. That's how it usually works for whatever reason. I mean, I'm not just trying to bring up ethnicity, but, the blacks always get, and the Hispanics get the housing stock after everybody else. And the paint comes off. You got terrible schools, and the kids have been exposed to lead. I mean, when you read this expose, it's frightening. Matter of fact, it only took 2 days before the Pennsylvania legislature had to address the issue. This was in the Sunday Philadelphia Inquirer, and it might have been Friday, because today is Monday. No, it was yesterday. It was Sunday. Because when I read the paper today, man, they had to act on it. Because one child had the lead level so high, they said that was the highest lead level they've ever recorded at the health department. So, there's a lot of environmental issues, and they always intersect with low SEC, it appears. When people live close to the interstate,
Well, it never seems to... it never seems to affect young Effingham Buffwich Huffnagel the Fourth. You ever notice that?
Yeah, well...
Never any stories in the news about all the little Trump kids getting poisoned with lead.
No, they just steal stuff. you know, they have aberrant behavior just because of their entitlement.
I don't know. Maybe young Donald feasted on, I mean, his dad was a slumlord after all. Maybe young Donald feasted on lead paint chips as a kid. Maybe that explains everything.
That would be good. You know, this, I mean, this Bundy thing, though, that was a terrible day. I cannot believe they acquitted them for that. That is absolutely atrocious. And see, that is such Trumpism. See, it just smacks in the face of common sense. And like you said, this is not going away now. This monster, it was always there. The monster was always there, but the monster was sedated. But you see, now the monster is fully awake. And we're going to have to deal with this nonsense.
And that's part of Comey. You know, the monster has turned on its own. The Republican,
right.
the Republican monster, is going after one of its own, and of course it's proven itself willing to do that. Remember when the teabaggers knocked off a senator in Indiana, and knocked off a senator in Utah, and that's how we wound up with the brilliant Mike Lee as a Republican senator from Utah. Remember that? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why we really have to focus on down ballot, this election and the next one. Really, really, really. So we dropped the ball in 2012. Everyone, you know, people didn't show up. But, and we're facing uphill battles because people are being purged from the rolls. There's going to be a lot of people who are not going to be able to vote when they go. There's going to be a number of people who will not be able to vote, and they're going to be very disappointed.
Well, there's going to be some several thousand people in Indiana unable to vote. At last check, Republicans in Indiana were trying to prevent 45,000 Indiana citizens, curiously, 45,000 black citizens in Indiana, from being able to vote.
See, if your name is John Smith, you might be okay, but if your name is Daquan, you know, Williams...
No, you ain't voting.
You're like, I'm sorry, there are 15,000 Daquan Williamses in the United States of America, and you could be one of them, so you're going to have to file this paperwork, and, oh, the election might be over, but that's not our fault. It's the process. You know, go talk to your legislator and try to change the law, but you won't be here to vote this time.
Yep.
You know, that's where we're headed.
We're so sorry. We're so sorry. God bless America.
Yeah, you know, we're in a bad place, man. This is not going away. And these folks are angry, and he has to do something with these people. So anyway, yes, and you and Scott had some good points. And if you see that trailer, you had a caller earlier, might have been from Georgia. But when you see that trailer, if you do, about Wiener, I don't even know why Wiener would consent to do that. It's really raw. It's like painful almost. Just the trailer is painful to watch. That's all I can say. Is, oh, my God. It's rough.
Well, you know, meanwhile, just in case you're wondering, meanwhile, at that noble institution of higher learning, Southeastern Oklahoma State University in Durant, Oklahoma, they had an anti-Black Lives Matter protest today. Not a Black Lives Matter protest, an anti-Black Lives Matter protest.
They don't get it.
At the anti-Black Lives Matter protest, a white guy wearing a T-shirt reading "Muhammad is in hell" said that one in three black people has an STD and they're all going to hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you know.
Why not just bring out the burning cross and put on the robes and hoods?
You know, that would be a good piece of research. I would like to see what the registration rate is now for white hate groups. I know maybe the Southern Poverty Law Center has their stats.
They're growing.
Because I'm just seeing angry people. When I go out, I'm holding the door for folks because they look at me and they're like, you know, they look like they're about to throw up. And I'm like, man, I'll hold the door for you. they're like, oh, you know, kill them with kindness. Because, I mean, this is just toxic. I've never seen such a thing in my lifetime, honest to God. We're moving in the backwards fast. We're moving in the wrong direction. You know, this is just a bunch of bullshit created by a weirdo fascist. And like you said, you know, we've always liked America collectively, not everybody in this country. But remember, when Hitler came to power, we weren't too bothered by it. You know, Roosevelt had to drag America into the war.
Oh, by the way, a minute ago, you said they don't get it. Steve in New York said, they do get it. They don't like black people, and frankly, they think black lives don't matter.
Well,
I mean, it's sad but true. I mean, the cops had to be called to break this thing up.
Well, thank God for the police, you know. Oh, and they're picking the jury today for Officer Slager, who shot.
Oh, and who killed Walter Scott in North Charleston?
Yes.
Yeah, and across the street, they're having the Mother Emanuel massacre trial. At the same time.
You're kidding me. Oh, I got to read the Charleston Post.
Oh, no. I saw a story over the weekend saying that the entire city of, you know, whatever it is, 115,000 people in Charleston are vibrating like a struck tuning fork.
Oh, my God. I have to read the paper tonight. They have an excellent paper. Oh, my God. They touched on that this morning on public radio about the jury selection for the Slager trial. And one thing that they forgot to mention, which is often overlooked, is the flaking that went on. You know, flaking like when someone plants evidence or moves evidence at the crime scene. To me, that's as bad as getting shot while you're running away. The officer was videotaped picking up the taser from somewhere else and then dropping it next to.
Oh yeah.
You know, don't do that.
Don't go out and bet the grocery money on the conviction of the cop or him getting, like, you know, the death penalty or anything.
Well. We'll have to see what happens.
I read a statistic of 77 cops accused of murdering other people in the United States, like in the last year or whatever. Only 21 have been convicted. There's your numbers. Hey, Todd, have yourself a good evening, man. It's always good talking to you.
You too.
All right. Bye now.
All right.
Calling from South Carolina, Stan. That's our buddy Todd. Couple of things. We are still at $75 away from meeting Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, a day early, no less, and that's pretty inspiring. Please let's not leave $200 a $200 offer sitting on the table. Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge is there every month, and I'm terribly grateful for it because it gives us a fighting chance, and we've got an even better than fighting chance right now. If we can, you know, flesh it out, as it were. $75 to go on Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge, a day early on the 31st day of October 2016, this Halloween version of the horn. One thing before I go back over to the Skype line. Maybe you're just more, maybe you've got it together a little better than I do. But I'm going to be creeped out until Wednesday morning. And I hope to goodness, after all this Comey business, I sincerely hope that, like, Hillary Clinton's Secret Service detail are doubling down. Because, I mean, the white wingers who support Donald Trump really are vibrating, and they are armed to the damn teeth. I mean, if you saw over on my Facebook page, there was a photograph that I picked up on from our buddy Tony, who alerted me to it. A photograph taken, and it's in black and white. A photograph taken in Loveland, Colorado. And it's like some sort of dark and twisted Norman Rockwell painting. all these white people just sitting with this rapturous, these rapturous looks on their faces at a Trump rally. And the centerpiece of the whole thing is a big old man with his arm around some little tow-headed boy that he's got pulled over to him. It's Sonny. And they both got their Trump wear on, and the man is wearing a T-shirt that reads, Black Guns Matter. And the word guns is highlighted. I'm not kidding when I say that I've worried about Barack Obama every day of his presidency. And I am more worried in these last 7 days for Hillary Clinton than I have been ever been during her campaign. These people are on the edge. I mean, the edge. And the fact that a woman in the photograph is wearing a deplorables for Trump T-shirt. And I come back to what I've been saying over and over again. If you cannot denounce the presence among the people who are supporting your candidate, if you cannot denounce the presence of the Klan, white nationalists, neo-Nazis, then yeah. If the shoe fits, if the deplorable shoe fits, by God, wear it. Thank you, Vernon. Thank you very kindly. We are now only $65 away from meeting Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge a day early. Let's go over to the Skype line and check in with Tracy. Hey, Tracy.
So I feel this, you know, when you said that about Hillary. Hi, honey. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you?
I'm good. I was on my way home, and then I get a text message from the missus. Baby, I don't think we have enough candy for the trick-or-treaters. So I'm like, no, we have enough. You just want to make sure there's extra.
It's like that, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I saw this thing somebody put on Facebook. If I have to get up and drag, you know, get your costume, drag you all over the neighborhood and all this, yeah, you damn right I'm getting 30% of your candy.
is that like the sugar vig?
Yes, the sugar vig. Absolutely. It's the sugar vig. That is exactly what it is. So I'm making sure. So this is what I decided to do. I'm making sure that since I'm the one that has to do the candy shopping and stuff like that, I'm making sure I get the stuff that I like. Like, you know, Butterfingers and Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Well, we've got an offer. Hoghead in the chat room said, Tracy can have all the leftover Whoppers I'm going to have here. I'll fight you for the Whoppers. I love me some Whoppers, except the ones that don't whop. You know, the ones that wind up being like hard and chewy in the middle.
Hard and chewy in the
middle.
Or you bite down on them and you lose the feeling.
Yeah, how do they make those things that they wind up? Because that's like a quality control issue for me in Whoppers. Because you know they're going to be there. They can't stop them from being there. And I don't understand what it is in the Whopper production process that makes that so.
See, only you, Bob Kincaid.
I've always wondered about that from the first time, 6 years old, got a loose tooth and it comes out in the defective Whopper, you know?
And I'm standing here. Okay. So now that I have the Horn family's attention, so I'm standing in front, of course we got, the Reese's and Butterfingers. And now it's so funny that you said Whoppers. I'm looking at Whoppers.
Butterfingers have those defective Butterfingers.
They do have those moments too.
Yeah, defective Butterfingers. What is that?
Only we could call, and I can call in and I'm trying to take your mind off of stuff because, you know, the election. So let's talk about candy some more. So Kit Kats or Snickers, what?
Kit Kats, peanut allergy.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's California. Snickers, do you have to put a peanut allergy warning on your door?
That is, you see, it's, First of all, I've lived in an apartment for 20 years, so you got in a controlled access. Oh, I said it right. You know, apartment building for 20 years. So, granted, when we first moved in, because all the kids in the building were young, so we used to have our own private Halloween party for, like, you know, the first 5 years that I lived there. Then, of course, we stopped. So forgot about the peanut allergies, but you know what? Their parents could figure that shit out. It says Snickers. It says Reese's. If their parents are stupid enough to give them, you know, I think I'll get it. So I'm going to get a bag of Whoppers in your honor.
Yeah, you know what? But you know what? Just as long as you don't, I mean, those people out there who give away, like, bags of kale chips.
Yeah, see, nah, that ain't never, that's a bullshit. That's a slap in the face. Because it's like, really, kale chips?
Ooh, salted cucumber chips. I mean, they're good. Kale chips are good, but I mean, no kid wants that.
I mean, unless you need...
And you know, and all over this country, you know, in every community, especially in the Bible Belt, there'll be that one family that gives out Bible verses.
Oh, yeah, the pamphlet, the whatever the hell they are. It's like, really? For real? See, that's the kind of stuff that people should get swept. Just... It's like, now, like you said, I like kale chips, but I'm a grown-ass woman. I can choose to eat kale chips because, you know, I'm an adult. If I want kale chips, I'm going to eat me some kale chips. But then I'm married to Jan, and that's not going to really happen.
She ain't putting up with that shit, huh?
See, Jan ain't filling nobody with damn kale chips. That ain't even an option. For the damn kale chips. So we won't, in other words, there will be no kale chips.
No, no rice cakes either, for God's sakes.
You know, like I said, I just think it's wrong.
I mean, I catch those things on sale at the grocery store and use them for packing popcorn. I'm trying, Tracy, but it's not working. I can't get my mind off the election.
Well, you know what? And like you said, and I've said this on numerous occasions, I've been more terrified about about Hillary in the last few weeks than I was ever scared for Barack Obama in the last 8 years. Ever.
Well, there's more time been invested in radicalizing and weaponizing a significant portion of the right wing over Hillary than there ever was. I mean, Barack Obama wasn't even on the radar until he gave his little speech in 2004.
Right, and this has been going on for...
And the Hillary hate machine had been running for 12 long years by then.
I was all year for our president when he first got elected. You're like, oh God, are they going to kill him? Is he going to, you know, be able to, you know, function? And, you know, again, all the stuff that I never thought I would be that worried about Hillary Clinton, but I'm terrified for her. Absolutely terrified for her. Because
part of the reason that she overheated and collapsed there on September 11th. Remember that kerfuffle?
Right.
Was because she was all geared up with Kevlar underneath, and that stuff don't breathe.
No.
I mean, Kevlar is amazing, but it does not breathe, and it isn't cool and comfortable.
Absolutely not.
I mean, it's not like a Kiana shirt or anything, you know, with the collar and the butterfly bow tie and the, you know. And there's a pirate ship on it, 70s disco.
Exactly.
I had that shirt.
And it's like, I'm sorry, like you said, these people, like you said, they're weaponized. When you have the fools going on TV and telling people to say, you know, sorry about that, you know, you Second Amendment people, you know what to do.
Well, I by the way, you mentioned that. I got something here.
Uh-oh.
I got some audio.
Oh, God.
This is Senator Richard Burr, Republican of North Carolina. Now, he is neck and neck and sweating it out in his reelection effort because he's a right-wing, you know, piece of shit.
Asshole. Absolutely.
So, talking to GOP volunteers in Mooresville, North Carolina. Well, let's just check in with the audio real quick, Tracy. Do you mind?
No, go for it.
Okay, here we go.
So you have a great business, but your website, not so great.
Okay, this is an ad courtesy of CNN. Well, it's going to go on forever. Never mind. But he joked with these GOP volunteers in Mooresville, North Carolina. He said he walked into a gun shop, and he said, "Nothing made me feel better than when I saw a magazine about rifles with a picture of Hillary Clinton on the front of it. I was a little bit shocked at that. It didn't have a bullseye on it. But on the bottom right of the magazine, it had everybody for federal office in this particular state that they should vote for. So let me assure you, there's an army of support out there right now for our candidates."
Oh,
he was surprised it didn't have a bullseye on the picture of Hillary Clinton.
Well, these are the same, aren't these the same people who these people that went to the University of Wisconsin football game or whatever with a dress as Barack Obama in a noose?
In a noose.
And that was okay.
No, it wasn't, because event staff went up and said, "You have a First Amendment right to express yourself, and we have a right to ask you to take that shit off."
So they did. They were asked to leave. Okay.
No, they were asked to take it off, and they did. The noose.
They should have been asked to leave.
Yeah. Well, I got one more for you. This is from a Trump rally. I presume out Vegas way. They're out and they're walking among us. Okay, it's really all I can say. Hey, at least we're not talking about misaggrieved white privilege 2016. You can
if
say
you bring that bitch up, I will find a way.
Yeah, I know you will come right through. Right, and yep, mm-hmm, and yeah, I know, but I'm not. But I'm not.
Okay.
Now this is. Oh, what is this jackass's name? Hang on a minute. I want to get this right.
Well, while you're looking for that, we just had, I don't know where in Orange County, because Jen and I were away for the weekend. There was somebody in the neighborhood, so we're in Orange County, behind the Orange Curtain, that had a picture, you know, a Confederate flag sign across their house. And, of course, people of African descent hanging in their front yard.
Saw that story.
Yeah.
Saw that story. Mm-hmm.
And then...
well, it's just a Halloween decoration. isn't that droll?
Y'all can't take a joke? Come on. It's just, you know, it's just a joke. It's just for Halloween. It's like, oh. And then on the way... Like you were talking about the people with the deplorable T-shirts on or what have you. Jen and I were on our way home, and in a part of Southern California, like, I know, Poway and Escondido and all these places where, you know, black people really don't live. And Scott knows where these places are because they're like San Diego County. Over overpass over the 15 freeway. Elective, you know, deplorable, like you said, deplorables for Trump. Make America great again.
There we go. Yeah, that, by the way, this cat's name is Wayne Allen Root, and he's a real Lulu. So you might want to, I mean, if you're in public, you might want to get the hockey puck real quick, Tracy.
Well, I'm in my car now, so I can scream.
Okay.
It's
so,
one of the beautiful things about self-checkout. I get my shit, I check out, and I'm done.
Okay, so you ready?
I'm ready.
Lock her up! Lock her up! Lock her up!
Chants from Donald Trump supporters, it's your voice, your vote in the race for the White House. The crowd at the Venetian erupting into an anti-Hillary Clinton chant before Donald Trump even takes the stage. And as 13 Action News reporter Marty Glazer explains, Trump isn't the only headliner.
When rally speaker conservative commentator Wayne Allen Root took the stage to warm up the crowd, his theatrical fantasy about Trump's opponent Hillary Clinton drew cheers.
Hello, Trump warriors! We are the Trump army!
His negative feelings towards the current administration and Hillary Clinton was clear in his tone as he outlined his fantasy of a Clinton-made-for-TV movie that ends tragically for both Clinton and her top aide, a close comparison to the characters in the 90s film Thelma and Louise.
Jackhammers and blowtorches are headed for Washington, D.C. Can you hear us? And we're coming to put you in prison!
Christopher, this speech is already going viral. The latest negative commentary about Hillary Clinton coming out of the Trump camp. Back to you. Coming out of the Trump.
So, what he said was, I heard a rumor. I don't know if you've heard this rumor, but while we're all gathered here, all the networks have wall-to-wall coverage of a live police chase. And it's Hillary in a white Ford Bronco. She's got Huma driving, and they're headed for the Mexican border.
Oh.
Yeah. We may yet see Hillary and Huma in that white Ford Bronco making a run for the Mexican border.
Well, you know,
let's hope President Trump has erected a wall by then.
If you're going to do a Thelma and Louise analogy, you might want to get the fucking car right.
Well, yeah, but that was some dog whistling because OJ.
Oh, yeah, because of OJ, yeah.
I have a name for the future TV movie. It's called Driving Miss Hillary. And the ending, if we all get our wish, the ending is like the end of Thelma and Louise. The ending, if we all get our wish. And the crowd, Tracy, went wild.
I'm at that point that, you know, I try every day to remain calm. But it's rather difficult when you're a black lesbian in this country with a son and brothers and people like, you know, Donald Trump running for president. And then people, and it's like I said, we've had this discussion. It's not so much Trump, because Trump can't really do anything to me on a personal level. He doesn't even, I'm not even in his radar. I'm not even in his crosshairs. It's the other motherfuckers that I'm worried about. The people who I have to
People he's going to empower. And
right.
And
like the people that have, like I said, the white, I keep telling people, you know, and I tell my friend who's a psychologist, he's like, honey, it's the Trump effect. And it's like, because I have said things and looked at white people, especially white men. You know how I love to fuck with white people. It is a special place in my heart when I mess with white people. And typically I can get away with that shit because
ignorant, racist, bigoted, stupid white people. Yes.
Right. Exactly. But now, especially when I have, you know, it costed not by one, not by two, three, but four white men in the course of a few weeks? Really? That these fools could think they could roll up on me and say anything to me because I don't know, because they're white and I'm black? And
they're empowered, Tracy. They're empowered, and they're not going to quit until somehow or another we make them understand that it's not okay to do what they do.
Exactly. And,
you know,
and it, hopefully
Steve
won't make me wind up in jail.
Steve just wrote in from New York And he said, I wasn't really scared. I am now. Tell me this isn't Weimar Germany. I'd like to, but that question can only be answered on November the 8th. Meanwhile,
why do I feel like I'm watching Cabaret?
Yeah, meanwhile, I got a note from Kim in New Jersey a little while back. And Kim said, not going out on a limb here predicting the continued erosion of Hillary's support in the polls. Yeah, get ready for President T. Bob and many others will lose Obamacare. I'll lose my marriage equality. We will all lose part of or all of our current or future Medicare and Social Security. The right to choose? Forget it. Freedom of speech? Kiss it goodbye. Guns, yes. So, and you know, this
people
is... this
don't
is,
get it. They don't fucking... Like these fucking, you know, like this whole thing about this whole thing about this bullshit emails and all this other shit. It's like, really? And then you got the Jill Stein supporters. See, we like, shit. Look, you know what? You mother. Okay, I know. Go ahead and do it. Stop telling people how to vote, Tracy.
You do it so well on your own.
Right. Oh, now I'm in the parking lot at the grocery store, and somebody has their kid dressed up as Donald fucking Trump. This motherfucker better not be walking by my house. That's all I got to say.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. If I understand, if I understood, Carol,
look, another,
if I understood.
My brother was just driving through, and he had to stop and look, too, like, ain't this some shit? I'm sorry.
If I understood correctly, someone dressed up their kid as Hillary's emails. But I mean, that's not, you know, look, it's how do I know it's Halloween 2016? Well, because nasty ass people are doing nasty ass thing. Let's see.
The Dakota Pipeline people.
Yeah. How about the people who dressed up mocking the Dakota Access Pipeline water protectors? There's one.
Yeah.
Or hey,
there's one.
How about the Sullivan High School Powerpuff football girls?
Oh, the trail of tears.
No.
They're
all in their pretty little pink T-shirts. Sullivan High School in Missouri. And they posed in blackface.
Well, apparently some school, they were playing against a team with the culturally insensitive moniker of Indians, whatever their school was or is, and they put up a sign, a banner says, you know, whatever, welcome to your trail of tears.
Yeah, get ready for a trail of tears. I saw that. That was in Ohio.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because, and then there was the little 8-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. Little 5-year-old sister, well, they were trying to come up with a Halloween costume, and she said, well, honey, how about you go as Hillary Clinton? And the little 5-year-old girl said, ha. And so the little 8-year-old boy said, well, I will. Somebody's got to. And Mama puts the picture up on Twitter. And
oh, God, I don't even want to know.
And the shitstorm begins. Seeing a little boy dressed up as a female is disgusting. This is why we shouldn't let lesbians adopt.
Well, you saw that you saw that thing I posted about the people getting pissy because, you know, David Bowie left his wife, I don't know, half his estate.
Oh my God, please, yeah.
Who was she? Who? Sorry for yelling. Was he supposed to fucking leave it to? So apparently, he left 50% to her, 25% to their daughter, and 25% to his son.
From a previous marriage, yeah.
From a I think that covers it, don't you?
That's 100%. And it's also precisely none of anybody's business.
Fucking business. But the fact of the matter is, they were married, like I said, fucking Christian, right? Married for over 20 years. Okay? They actually followed their vows. I don't know that until death do you part, you know?
Yeah.
And what is, like I said, the article that, you know, when I read it, and I'm glad that they didn't. We're not even gonna, you know, justify these assholes by, you know, posting what they, you know, repeating or whatever, reposting what these assholes wrote. But, you know, racism. Did you see the message I sent you about Randy Rainbow?
No, I didn't see that.
I
love Randy Rainbow. Yeah.
Oh, he did this. I'm always late getting on. I'm always on a late break and shit. But he did a thing about the last debate about nasty women and the puppets. So he did a puppet show with during this from the Sound of Music. You know, once the lowly go to lady, oh lady, oh lady. So he's doing the puppet show with Hillary and the orange, you know, Tic Tac.
Nice.
Oh, when I saw it, I just like, okay, thank you. You know, there's certain things that wanna make you smile, okay? Like, I'm looking right now, like I said, I was dreaming about the little boy dressed as Trump, but then Now, I don't know if she's Native American, but I wouldn't be surprised because she probably is part Native American, but she's at least the right skin color. I don't know. And she's dressed as a Native American girl, but she's not a white girl. She's not blonde hair and blue eyes. Oh, like Hillary Duff and her boyfriend. She's a pilgrim and he's an Indian. Yeah. They went to an A-lister Halloween party out here in Beverly Hills. When will these people... It's just, you get to that point, Bob, where you just want to say, are you just... What? Are you just that fucking stupid? Are you just that... But then, like, who said, but they know, they're aware, but they just don't care.
Oh, no, and Matt in San Francisco just alerted me to something. He said, did you see the Christian haunted house that had a Pulse nightclub room? You know, because us gays should be killed.
Oh, they didn't, did they skip this year about the baby abortions and the crosses?
Oh, no, I'm sure that was in there, too. But they added, they made sure to add in the Pulse nightclub scene. You know, with a room just littered with, you know, dead gay people because, you know, gotta love y'all.
Because we're Christians. So this is... Oh, you said, did you see the article that I posted about the cult of Trump? This guy who is a Republican, who that's all he does is try to, you know, get people out of cults. And he's like, you know, he's a Republican. And he's like, okay, I'm scared.
Yeah, he can see it from a mile away because that's the oeuvre in which he works. Oh,
that is what he does.
Hey, by the way, Arnold informs me, mini Snickers are the only reason for Halloween to exist. Mini Snickers.
Amen.
That's it.
Amen.
I mean, see, I'd take the mini Snickers over the mini Kit Kats any day of the damn week. Because personally, I think Kit Kats are kind of lame.
I think they are too, but the wife unit likes
Twix. I'm not quite as agnostic about Twix, but no, Kit Kats, please.
But see, Kit Kats, that's the beautiful thing about Kit Kats, is because you get those out. You know, you give out the bullshit candy first anyway.
No, but what makes you really cool is when you give out the retro candies. Like the taffy bats, the little suckers,
yes,
or the Smarties, Or what were the little tiny round chocolate balls, multicolored, kind of like M&M's, but they're just spherical, and they came in a little straight cellophane sleeve?
Yes.
Or my father, who would be 92 tomorrow if he were still here, miss you, Dad. My father's personal favorite, and they're really a favorite of mine, too, Mary Jane's.
See, you know,
with that little blast of peanut butter in the middle, yeah!
Hell yeah. See, here's the thing. See, these kids, these millennials, these kids nowadays don't know what they're missing. It's like, I think there should be an app or something, because see, back in the day, you know, now, if the phone goes dead, you don't know if somebody hung up on you, right? But when we were growing up, even after we were grown-ass people, if you hung up, you knew that somebody hung up on you because you heard the click or the slamming of the phone.
Yeah, you could hear the air moving past the microphone as it was on the way speedily and with great force toward the cradle. You know, whack!
Kabam! You know, and nor would they ever know how, like, when my mom was on the phone and she thought my brother rolled his eyes at her. And whoever she was talking to said, she's like, hold on a minute. And she threw the phone because it was still on the cord, hit my brother upside the head. The phone came back and she continued with their conversation.
Yeah, back when phone cords were worth something.
Right. You know what?
Yeah, these little kids today, they don't know what they're missing.
They don't know. I mean, but see, I think there needs to be an app. So somebody, if I hang up on you, there needs to be a text message or something that says, no, I did not drop the call. It's not dropped. I hung up on your ass. Deal with it. And somehow a sound of a click or something, you know, or a phone hanging up.
Yeah, the same way you can have the camera make the camera noise.
Exactly. Because see, what tickles me when I'm watching these TV shows or whatever, and the both people are on the phone and they hang up the phone and it's a dial tone, I'm like, no, there's no such thing as a dial tone anymore. You don't get the dial tone anymore. You get silence. That is why people don't realize unless you're calling from one landline to another landline, that's the only way you're going to know, you know, when you hear the dial tone that you got hung up on or you know. But if you're talking to a person on a cell phone, there's no way of knowing. Come on, player. For real, dog. So that's every time I'm like, when I'm here with the phone and there's a dial tone, I'm like, what the fuck? There is no dial tone when two people are talking on the cell phone. See, those are the kind of things I notice. What is wrong with me? Why would I notice that? Have you ever noticed that?
Absolutely. This is just life experience, Tracy.
You know, it's like you don't get a goddamn dial tone with that.
Yeah,
get my cell phone working.
Yeah, so by the way, how much of a hurting did you put on that bottle of Malibu? If you say what bottle of Malibu, I'm going to know.
Well, no. I did bring half of the bottle, did make it back to the house. But I'm going to probably. See, I was smart because, see, tonight I actually cooked, I made spaghetti, and I decided, you know what, I'm going to cook dinner before I leave home. That's one of those things, the beauty of being able to come home in between my school runs. And I asked Jennifer, what are we going to do for dinner? I don't know. So I have frozen some spaghetti sauce. So Jan went to go check it, and apparently Alex already ate it. And I don't know when. I guess it was on one of those weekends that we were gone. Oh, speaking of gone,
sauce sickles.
You know, so I made spaghetti, but we went to go see Martin Lawrence. Why was the opening act funnier? We won't even go in there. I won't even give you a review of the show, but his opening act was hilarious. But Mama hit not one, not two, but three, four houses.
Whoa.
Three, four houses. Well, two full houses at Rincon and one at Verona. That used to be Kenny Rogers' casino down in another part of San Diego. Also,
couple of Three of a Kind and woo 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 woo. So yeah, you know, basically as wonderful as it sounds, it basically covers pretty much what I lost with a little bit of traveling money to come back home with.
Well, but, at least you didn't come back home on a Greyhound.
Yeah, exactly. At least I didn't have to hawk my wedding ring and my tennis bracelet that the wife bought me for my birthday. So at least there's that. But no. So hey, guess what we're going to see Friday?
Do tell.
Tony Bennett.
Ooh, that'll be fun.
I am looking forward to that. We're just going down for the concert Friday night, and then we're leaving early Saturday morning because I have to work. But I am very, because at first we didn't think we were going to be able to go because I thought it was on a Saturday night because I have Will, and I'm not giving up Will. You know, as much as I love Tony Bennett, he ain't paying me to come see him.
Because economics.
Exactly. So I'm like, but when we realized that the concert's on Friday, we're like, cool. We'll drive down early Friday, hit it and, you know, do the thing, go to the concert, spend the night Friday night, get up Saturday morning so I can go to work, you know, because I got to work. Because we're actually going away for Thanksgiving, and we have to get Kimba boarded.
Oh, Kimba going to love that. Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, because Kimba is a hellion, as you guys have, you know, as I have repeatedly, you know, you've heard me go, Kimba, stop. Kimba, no. Kimba, stop. So I Googled and, you know, Yelped and found a, you know, we're looking for boarding, you know, and then I found this woman who not only does boarding, but she does obedience training as well. So I met with her. So she's going to come over. She does like two lessons before we leave her for Thanksgiving weekend. And then on top of that, the training is going to continue once Kimba's at the, and I went and looked at the place. It has the dog runs. She actually has an indoor area that kind of looks like that doubles as a living room so she can, you know, teach Kimba, you know, no, you can't just run out the door when mommy opens it, and when mommy tells you to go to that spot, you go to that spot. And she even has like an outdoor area with grass to show Kimba how to walk on a leash and not take mommy and not dislocate mommy's shoulder.
Bonus.
Because, you know, Kimba is sweet and loving as she is. She is going to be a brute. Like I said, she's 6 months old and she already weighs 60 pounds.
Yeah, no, you got a 100-pound dog on your hands.
I got a 100-pound dog on my hands. And she doesn't understand that she's not a light as a feather. And when she comes charging, she could take me out at my knees. So I like, we're going to, you know, as much as I've tried to do this on my own and Petco and all that, yeah, no, we're going to have to do some down and dirty stuff. So she's going to probably have two lessons at the house before Thanksgiving. Can you believe that? It is almost Thanksgiving, and it is terrifying to me.
No kidding.
I want to be able to get through this election and really want to have a Thanksgiving because we're thankful that Donald Trump is not the president.
That would be something to be thankful for. Absolutely.
That would be something to be thankful for. So on that note, I'm going to go so I can get my house ready for Halloween because, you know, it'll be Christmas next week.
Oh, no. So I dropped Margie off at Hellmart today.
And, are the Christmas decorations up
and
already?
And they've already got, you know, the poles there in front of the store, you know, that keeps Osama bin Laden from driving the bomb truck into Walmart. They've already got the candy cane red and white striped condoms on them so that we know 'tis the season.
I saw
marshmallow jack-o'-lantern candies next to candy canes in Cut Rate the other day.
I'm like, remember back when we were kids, you didn't see any kind of Christmas decorations until after Thanksgiving. After Thanksgiving, that's when the Christmas decorations went up. There wasn't even any hint.
Well, it all began with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. That's when Santa arrives.
absolutely. That's it. You're right, you know.
But at least the Starvation Army bell ringer isn't out yet.
Right. Oh, my God. Oh, God.
Don't you know, so that they can collect change to discriminate against gay people.
Well, you know what? I have to say, not many years ago when Alex and I were homeless, we were living in a shelter. And the Salvation Army, they asked us to write a list of stuff we wanted for Christmas, or what Alex wanted. And you know what? They came through with gangbusters.
Yeah, because you didn't identify as gay yet.
No, I wasn't a lesbian then. And I'm wondering what would have happened had I been a single mom lesbian raising her half-breed child. Oh, God. Oh, God. What the fuck is going on with this country? I know I say this. I'm feeling all that Marvin Gaye, make me want to holler, throw up both my hands kind of thing. I'm exhausted and tired and just terrified at the prospect. Who was it that says, you know, I wasn't worried at first, but now I'm scared? I'm like,
yeah, that was Steve.
See, and I don't know, it's like, I'm sorry, I've been, you know, me being black, I've been terrified ever since that fool got it during the primary. Everybody else was laughing and joking, and I'm like, this motherfucker can be president, because I have to think about how it's going to affect me and people who look like me. So I've been terrified for a long, long time. You as a folks, welcome to my nightmare. Welcome to the horror story and what is my life that I have been thinking about since before the Republican National Convention in Cleveland, it solidified then, and that, well, it was gelling. It was gelling, and it became solidified when July 21st, oh, my birthday, when I'm watching the Republican National Convention. Okay, I fucking turned 50, and Donald Trump became the fucking accepted the nomination for the Republican Party on my birthday. Well, it wasn't even, I don't know if it was on my birthday. It might have been on my birthday. But that just, right there. Right fucking there. And now it has become this permanent fucking knot that I have had for a while now. And so, like I said, just welcome to my world, motherfuckers, because this is what I've been living with for the last 10 months. Well, now going on 11.
Hang in there, Tracy. We'll talk soon, dear.
We'll talk soon, my love. Happy All Halloween.
Blah. Talk to you later. Enjoy the trick-or-treaters. Bye now.
I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Tracy, the lady cab driver, calling from somewhere in the greater Los Angeles area. I was just looking at the 538 map. I live in the Trumpiest, or in one of the three Trumpiest states of the Union. Oklahoma and West Virginia. Well, West Virginia trails Oklahoma only by 0.1 percentage point in the unlikelihood of Hillary Clinton winning in this state. West Virginia's at 99.8% Trump to 99.1% Trump in Oklahoma Stan. And just so you'll know, that creeps me the hell out. You never know when one of them's going to go sideways on you. And you figure, you know, a bunch of them are the deplorables that Hillary pretty much got right. But the rest of them are just sort of, you know, flying under the radar stealth Trumpansies. And you never know when one of them's going to go off. It can be a little nervous-making. It's about 10 minutes before the hour. We have we have $65 to go, courtesy, $65 to go to meet Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge a day early. And thanks very kindly. We have a new subscriber taking advantage of Ralph's kind offer. Vernon set up a subscription just a little bit ago. So that that's a big deal. Remember, Vernon gets $11 added to his first month's subscription. And now, thanks, Jill. Thank you very kindly. We have met Shirley's Wisconsin Challenge for the month of November, which starts in about 3 hours and 10 minutes. Oh, and by the way, thanks for the feedback. Apparently, the stress line sounded really good. I appreciate the input. It kind of annoyed me that we had to make the change, but I saw no sign that Apple was going to fix their Bluetooth mess, because they've made a complete mess of Bluetooth. So it looks like this is what we'll be dealing with, and glad I am of it. Oh, what else? Well, it wouldn't be Halloween if we didn't have some fulminating right-wing POS talking about demons, now would it? Here, everybody needs a giggle. Wait, wrong button. I set that up so nicely, too. Had it queued up and everything. Oh, he's out from behind the desk, so he's going to try to be warm and familial and stuff. Take it away, former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson.
Halloween, supposedly All Saints Eve, a day dedicated to the saints of God, has become a day in honor of Satan, where we worship demons, we dress like demons, we talk about satanic rituals, and we don't think too much about it. But demons are real. I want to say that right off the bat. The Bible was clear that Jesus drove out demon spirits. There are spirits in the world, fallen angels, if you will, whose job it is to destroy people and take them away from God. They're there to hate, to kill, and to destroy Satan and the forces of evil. So we have a day now, Halloween, when we celebrate that and worship Satan. And they like that.
Hail Satan, y'all. I mean, I'd hate to break Marion's heart and not give the devil his due. I mean, lighten up, Francis. Jesus Christ. But yeah, that's. Yeah, so a little kid in a devil costume is, I guess, the high priest of Satanism. These bastards could take the fun out of anything. Really. All right, well, just to be in the spirit of things, because it's fun. And why not? Let's wrap up with a little classic Halloween, shall we? I don't do this very often. Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered, weak and weary, over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished tomorrow. Vainly I had sought to borrow from my books surcease of sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels name Lenore, nameless here forevermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now, to still the beating of my heart, I stood repeating, to some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, nothing more. Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. Sir, said I, or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore, but the fact is I was napping, and so gently came you rapping, and so faintly you came tapping, tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I opened wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more. Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the stillness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, Lenore? This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, Lenore. Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before. Surely, said I, surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then where thereat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, nothing more. Open here I flung the shutter, when, with many a flirt and flutter, in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obeisance made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, but with mien of lord or lady, perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas, just above my chamber door, perched and sat, and nothing more. Then this ebony bird, beguiling my sad fancy into smiling, by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore, though thy crest be shorn and shaven, thou, I said, art shirt no craven. Ghastly grim and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore, tell me why thy lordly name is on the night's Plutonian shore. Quoth the raven, nevermore. Much I marveled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast upon the sculptured bust above his chamber door with such name as nevermore. But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing farther than he uttered, not a feather than he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, other friends have flown before, on the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said, nevermore. Startled at the stillness broken by reply so aptly spoken, doubtless, said I, what it utters is its only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster, till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore. But the raven, still beguiling all my fancy into smiling straight, I wheeled into cushioned seat in front of bird and bust and door, and then upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt, and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking, nevermore. This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er. whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloating o'er, she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser perfumed from an unseen censer swung by seraphim, whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. Wretch! Make America great again! Happy Halloween. Good night, y'all.